How's it going and holding your kids accountable these days? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. This has been a pervasive challenge for every generation, all parents, and sometimes grandparents. How do we hold our kids accountable? We don't want to overdo it. We don't want to underdo it. You know, the Bible tells us that we're not to exasperate our kids lest we discourage them. At the same time, we're told that we're to hold them accountable and that we're to be the kind of authority in the family, raising them to become responsible adults. We're instructed to train them up in the way they should go. And that really ultimately should be our goal. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Holding our kids accountable is a part of the discipline training process of being an intentional parent. And so if you want to share a story with us, how you do that, or a question, you can leave it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. And by the way, we have intentionals, the top 10 for parents, up on our website at theintentionallife.com. I hope you'll get that as something you can have as an addendum to what we're talking about today on holding our kids accountable.
Hey, Randy, this is Barbara from Fairhope, Alabama. Just wanted to tell you that as a mother, the intentional thing that I did was to intentionally be involved in my children, where they were going, who they were with, making sure when they said they were spending the night with someone that I knew them or was able to communicate with those parents so that there was accountability, so that my children knew that I cared enough about them to hold them accountable, just to, you know, give them those boundaries to know that if they wanted to do something that wasn't going to be appropriate, that they would know that someone would be checking on that situation. And it really helped them. They were thankful that I loved them that much.
On our computer today, over when you go to the website, rather, theintentionallife.com, and click on the broadcast highlights, we've got a list in our intentionals, the top 10 things that I believe good parents, intentional parents, do. And I put it in sort of a statement of I will or I will not, okay? For instance, I will not do for my children what they can do for themselves, because when I do, I disrespect them. Now, that will preach. As a parent, whenever you step in and do for your children something that they are capable for themselves to do, you weaken them. I will not overreact when my child overreacts, because when I do, we both lose. Boy, some of you, come on, if you were to raise your hand, are just major overreactors. And long term, that's not effective. I will not rescue my child from life lessons that he or she needs to learn, because when I do, I weaken them. I will not treat my teenager like a child. When I do, I create resentment. They're not an adult yet. We have to always treat our children what is age appropriate. Number five, I will not be dissuaded. Big word for saying I'm just not going to be pushed away from doing the right thing. Despite anger, tears, cursing, or threats, when I do, I'm an irresponsible parent. If your kids throw a tantrum, you still need to lovingly, you may wait for a few minutes, but you still need to follow through. Sorry about your tears, sorry you feel that way, but this is still what's going to happen. I will pick my battles carefully, because it's more important to be the right parent than to be right. There's six of the 10 on the Intentionals top 10 list for intentional parents. You can get it at our website at theintentionallife.com. Click on the broadcast highlights. A couple principles of disciplining children. Age appropriate is always important. The basics of parenting, we tell parents, is to parent up and power down. Turn down the power in your home. Just be an intentional parent. The use of logical and natural consequences can make a difference. Life is full of those. Your kids will face them on the job, will face them in marriage, will face them throughout their lifetime. And as your children learn about logical and natural consequences of their behavior and their attitude, that you can orchestrate in a way that's effective and it's age appropriate, and of course, something that's, you don't let your children play in the street just to learn consequences, please. Okay, let's use some good sense here. But you know what? You can show children when you see an accident that maybe someone wasn't paying attention, or someone was using alcohol, or someone was breaking the law, perhaps. And that's a reality. When people do that, you can see what's happened to someone else. We need to pray for them that they'll be safe, but also maybe learn. So we allow life to become a teacher for our kids. 888-888-1717.
Hey, Randy, this is Barbara from Fairhope, Alabama. Just wanted to tell you that as a mother, the intentional thing that I did was to intentionally be involved in my children, where they were going, who they were with, making sure when they said they were spending the night with someone that I knew them or was able to communicate with those parents so that there was accountability, so that my children knew that I cared enough about them to hold them accountable, just to, you know, give them those boundaries to know that if they wanted to do something that wasn't going to be appropriate, that they would know that someone would be checking on that situation. And it really helped them. They were thankful that I loved them that much.
Hmm. All right. Great stories. Thank you for sharing yours. Deanna is on the line today. Hi, Deanna. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Charles. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
So I believe kids like 6 and older, and it's better to teach them like accountability. But like, how about like the younger kids? You said like,
yeah, the little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this thing of discipline, Deanna. Remember, the word discipline comes from discipleship. It comes from the concept of teaching and training. So often as parents, we think that our job is to, quote, punish our children. I don't buy that. I think our job is to train them, to nurture them. And part of it is holding them accountable, letting them see how life works. So let's say you got a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, and you've asked them to pick up their toys. And, I mean, it's a reasonable thing to do. Before we have dinner tonight, pick up your toys. If they don't, there's a couple of realities. One is maybe they miss that meal. Wow. There's a thought, or it's delayed. Or maybe another thought, if you're not comfortable with that, would be that you come along and then you're going to pick up the toys, but they're not going to go back in the child's closet for them to play with next time. They disappear into your room in a bag. And when the kids say, well, where's my whatever, you name the toy, well, I guess you didn't really want to take care of it all that much because I asked you to pick it up and you didn't. And so it's going to be gone for a while. See, these are consequences. If kids leave toys outside, they're going to get stolen or damaged or by the weather, or someone's going to take it away, steal it. That's reality. If you leave toys sitting out in the bedroom, you don't put them away, you know, there's a consequence. Now, we're not trying to be harsh or punitive here, Deanna. We're just letting children see in age-appropriate ways that there are consequences, good and bad, for the behavior. We can even start young by putting some money into a jar at dinner time and start to give kids small amounts of money that they can start to manage and see that there's something they can buy at the store, something that they want, that they learn to wait and not get immediate gratification. These are the things that you can do with a 5 or 6-year-old to begin training them. Lots of ideas. In fact, we have an entire study for parents called Raising Responsible Adults that focuses on these principles of what it means to raise a little one. And if you'll hang on, Deanna, I'm going to have Sally get your address, and I'm going to send you the book and the study guide, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, because I know you want to do a good job. We'll help you think about it, okay? By the way, that resource is something available here through our Intentional Living Center. Telephone number, if you have a story or a question, is 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Jennifer calling, and the very first thing I do to be intentional is to spend quiet time with God every morning, building myself up to face my day. I live with an autistic child with many health ailments, and it's like the laundry, it's never officially done. So I've chosen to maintain a good attitude regardless, and dealing with negative people is a part of my everyday life, and I have just chose to look beyond and see the good and to live by example. And I have a saying in our house that when things go wrong, don't go with it. We always have a choice. It truly is a choice. God can give us the strength for all things. Thank you for being a blessing.
You're very welcome. Great reminder. Let's not follow the things that go wrong. It's easy to get in that rut, isn't it, in our families, and point out the things that are wrong, the things that aren't working, and become overly corrective in the process, which is discouraging. You know, when the Bible does say that we're not to discourage our kids, that's one of the ways we can do it. We can, however, get too involved over accountability, I suppose. All right, we're trying to strike that balance. That's what we're talking about here today. And we appreciate all the stories that are coming in. You can share yours right now on our storyline here at their Intentional Living Center when you call 888-888-1717. Raising kids, a lot of challenges, especially with social media and cell phones and all the things that young people are caught up in today. Being accountable. Listen, it begins by us as parents and grandparents being accountable ourselves.
Just real quick, Dr. Randy, I wanted to let you know how we held our young adult accountable. We were still living in California, but he was over in Arizona at Northern Arizona University, and he called his dad and I up and said that he had gotten himself in trouble with credit cards. And would we mind paying his monthly payment on his car for the next several months? And to my surprise, my husband says, well, sure, we can do that for you. We will drive up this weekend and pick your car up. He had to ride his bike in the middle of winter up in Flagstaff. Today, he's an amazing young man. He owns his own optometry practice, and he and his wife are raising wonderful, godly children.
You know, when I first heard that story, I had to chuckle because she went on to say, and you didn't hear it on that spot, that her son actually, as a result of being at NAU in the winter, ended up with getting sick but recovered and life went on. Except for that, that's a great reality discipline, as my friend Kevin Lehman would call it. In fact, he's got a great resource you might want to check out, several books on parenting. Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours was his first bestseller on that topic, and I'm sure you can pick that up online or at your Christian bookstore. You know, today we're talking about holding your kids accountable. It's one of the passions of our life, is helping parents and grandparents be responsible parents, to experience your parenting responsibilities the way God intended, getting up every day filled with encouragement, at the same time knowing you have a challenge and an opportunity to raise those kids in a way that will honor Christ. And that's what our mission is all about. And I thank those of you who are standing with us. Your prayers and your financial support undergird the ministry. Find out more about how you can do that when you go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And thank you for standing with us. Here's one habit your kids need to learn before they leave your home. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The first thought that came to my mind was, can we help the kids get the habit to clean their own room? That would be nice. But the fact is, the most important habit for life comes from the lips of Jesus. He says, learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22. See, if your kids take that with them from your home, the rest of their lives will fall into place. Whatever the difficult things that they face, the decisions they need to make, they've got the habit for life. Remember, the right habits for the right reason can change your life. Can I encourage you to develop those kinds of habits in your life intentionally starting today?
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
I discovered that my daughter was making poor food choices based on choices she had seen me make. And so in order to help her make better choices, I had to make better choices.
Dinesia's intentional one thing is helping her break an unhealthy pattern in her family.
So I had had some health issues that I was dealing with, and I noticed at the same time that she was doing these same behaviors, it dawned on me that my mother, when I was a child, she didn't eat breakfast or lunch, and when I got into high school, I stopped eating breakfast and lunch, and here my daughter's not eating breakfast and lunch, and my mom is diabetic, and now I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic. And so I was creating a generational curse, or feeding into this generational curse that we had. And in order for that to stop, I had to be the one to make the change.
One thing you can do to help your children break a bad habit is to first break that habit in your own life. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to begin living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
I'm Denise, and this is my intentional life.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to our center. We're talking kids today, holding our kids accountable. I'm going to get back to calls in a moment. People ask me, what is intentional living? It's really at its simplest, basic 101 level. It is taking what we are on the inside, what we believe, what we value, how we think, and our attitude, what's happening on the inside of us, and getting that to match with what goes on the outside of us, our habits, our goals, our actions, our priorities. Let's face it, many times what we say and what we do don't match. What we think and how we respond don't match. And intentional living is taking what's on the inside, making sure it goes on the outside. Changes lives. This is something personal for you as you grow. I think you can deal with anything in life if you approach it as a follower of Christ intentionally. Okay, Holly, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. How can I help today? What's your question?
I was married for 10 years, and I am now recently the product of a divorce as of the 30th of last month. And I have.
How are you doing with it? Before we move on, how are you doing, Holly?
You know, when they say you go through all the processes and the stages, that's not a joke. You absolutely do. I'm doing much better. The marriage kind of fell apart because one of us wanted to follow Christ and the other one didn't.
Boy, when we get unequally yoked, as the Bible says, a picture of not pulling in the same direction. And as far as parents, it doesn't end. I imagine your question has to do with two of you now pulling in different directions.
That's exactly right. I still keep Christ in our home. I still filter as best as I can and monitor the music. We belonged to a church for several years, and that fell into the wayside when him and I had split up. You know, the church couldn't understand, and it caused a breakdown. Well, I have full custody, and our 14-year-old is rebelling, not only because we're not together anymore, but because everything she knew, the Christian life that she knew, the music, all changed. Their dad is now listening to vulgar music around them, has got them to where they like the sound of it. And I'm trying to figure out how to hold her mostly accountable.
Yeah.
In my household, there's not a lot I can do in his household, but what's the best way to hold her accountable? She knows right from wrong.
Yeah. Well, you asked the most difficult of all questions, Holly, and I understand it, and we see it repeatedly in families when there's been a break and the parents have different values and going in different directions, and the children get caught in the middle. As you said, you can't change what happens at dad's home, but you certainly can set the tone in your home. I'd give you just a couple of things. Obviously, prayer. You're a follower of Christ. You pray. God will provide you strength, and so you can be a confident parent. You need to be confident in your home, and don't try to overreact in the other direction, if you know what I mean. You look at your ex-husband and say, he's doing all these things in his lifestyle, therefore I'm going to go to the far extreme in the other. You know, just be who you are in Christ. Run a home that honors Christ. Live your life in a way that honors Christ. Set an example for your daughter. She's not stupid. She was raised by you guys, and she can see, she can compare and contrast. But there's a spiritual dynamic of this as well. There's a passage in Scripture that talks about a hedge of protection. And it's a word picture, and I love it. It's like building a hedge of protection around a yard, and you see these thick hedges that protect what goes on the inside from the outside. And I would encourage you, because ultimately this is God's child. You are a steward of raising this 14-year-old, and I would pray every day. Here's what my intentional prayer would be. God, today's another day, a day that I need to be intentional in raising this young teenager. I want to do a good job. I want to honor you, but ultimately she belongs to you. And I would ask you today, Father, in the name of Jesus, to build a hedge of protection around her, around this home, that you would protect her thinking. You would protect what she feels. You would protect her attitude. You would protect her against the decisions that she could make that could have permanent impact in her life. I give her to you, and I ask that you will build a hedge of protection around her, and then give me the strength to be the parent that I need to be. I think that's the very best thing you can do, Holly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Does that help a little bit?
It absolutely does. It's just, it's hard when you're a parent and so much is out of your control.
Well, yeah, it's all out of your control. Even with moms and dads living in agreement in the home, you still have children making decisions because they still are free agents and they're going to make decisions for life. So all you can do is be the very best mom you can be. Hang on, I want to send you our study on parenting, raising a responsible adult, to add to your library, and maybe it'll be an encouragement to you. So hang on, Sally will get that for you.
Hi, my name is Laura. Unfortunately, I wasn't walking with the Lord at the time, and I raised my son as a friend. I even smoked with him. And unfortunately, he's a very spoiled, angry young man. A lot of things happened to him that made him angry. It wasn't about me not parenting him, but I see the results of spoiling him. Could I do it over again? I would have given him a lot more discipline and love. And, you know, had I been able to do it over again, I would have asked the Lord in my life and become, you know, a believer and try to walk the way that He wants me to walk rather than in the way that I think I should walk or my parents told me I should walk. I was raised in a family of non-believers, and I'm not using that as an excuse because I went back and forth until I learned the way. And the way is with the Lord. But since I wasn't parented, I really don't know how to parent it with love.
Honest moms, listen, that's the beginning point. Hey, God, give me the power through your Holy Spirit to be the parent I need to be. There's where it begins. Talking about holding kids accountable today, let's go to Laura in New Mexico with a comment. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. What's your comment?
Oh, my comment is I have a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and my biggest intentional thing with them is holding them accountable for the things they can be held accountable for, such as putting away their shoes or not bringing toys into places that they can get lost.
Yeah, what do you do? How do you hold them accountable?
I don't help them look for their shoes unless they ask. If they did not put their shoes back, because we have a mud room and there's a cubby, if they don't put their shoes back in there until they ask for help, they don't get help.
That's good. So you're allowing them to take the initiative to look, but also know you're available if they need help.
Yep.
And you know, you did another thing. You talk about their cubby. So you have a little organization system as well,
yes.
Laura?
Or at least I'm trying to.
Yeah, I think that's important. There was a statement made. I read it many years ago, and it stuck with me. Where you have parents who are disorganized, then you got parents who are obsessed with organization. And the balance is this. Everything should have a place recognized in the home, a place for shoes and hats and clothes and whatever. But it doesn't mean they always have to be in their place all the time. I think that's a great balancing act. Very, very, very effective.
All my children are raised and love the Lord. But I was wondering how my children would raise their children. And that was always a concern. And I happened to be at my daughter's house one day. And she has a 2-year-old. And she asked him to do something. And he turned around and said no. And I was sitting on the couch. And I was wondering how they would interact. And she turned around and she said, "You do not say no to your mother. Go to timeout." And this little boy did a turn around, ran across the room, put his head in the corner, and just whimpered. And she said, "1 minute." And she put the timer on, and he whimpered. And he said, "I said, time, mommy." And she goes, 25 seconds. He stayed there, and when the little timer went off, he ran to her and said, "I'm sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry." And they hugged and kissed. And she said, "You do not say no to your mother." And I stood there. I had to turn away and laugh to myself because I thought, that's so cool. This kid, I mean, just turned two, and when he makes a loud sound, either in a restaurant, because we go out a lot, we've taken him since he was a baby to a restaurant to teach him, and when he uses a loud voice, I just put my finger over my mouth and say, "Use your indoor voice." And then he says the same thing to me, but he whispers and then he giggles. So he's extremely intelligent, but that's because they've trained him since birth.
And I don't know what it is for you. It could be health. Maybe it's finance. Maybe it's your marriage. Whatever it is. But to pick one thing and to say, for the next 30 days, of all the things I've got going on, here's one thing I choose to do. You know, every day I get up and I put on my one thing wristband. And right now with this 30-day challenge, it's, Lord Jesus, give me strength today just to take better care of myself, to honor you. And so to write down everything that I eat, to be aware of what I'm eating, to give you glory for what I eat. Take responsibility for when I eat what I'm not supposed to eat. You know, that simple act of being intentional and focusing on that one thing will impact my life in a positive way if I stick with it and if I choose to be intentional.
Pulling back the curtain, seeing a little bit of one of the challenges I face in my life, and I teach it every day, that I want to experience life the way God intended. There's only one way to do it. It's not going to happen by osmosis or by a good intention or by thinking my way into it. It's going to happen by doing it. If I want to experience life, I have to choose to live my life today the way God intended. And, you know, that's liberating. That's not restrictive. That's liberating. You can do the same every day. That's the power of one thing. The answer to the question, what one thing could I do today that would really bring me in alignment to living my life the way God intended so I can experience my life today in that same way? And when you do that, boy, that's the power of taking those first steps in living an intentional life in Christ. You know, we're wrapping up the show today on this topic of kids and parenting and accountability, going back to the roots of our ministry. And I say thanks to each of you who have so faithfully continued your ongoing support for the ministry. It's huge and it makes a big difference. You can come and be a part of this team, making a difference in just powerful ways through radio, podcast, events, and publications. Everything we do here at Intentional Life Media, by calling 888-888-1717 or going to theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, click on the little donate icon and you can hear and see what you need to sign up. I got to run. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. We're here every day, and it remains a ministry of Intentional Life Media.